All right. Well, welcome to our study class today. We're in the sealed book, and we are in today. Sorry, is Sunday, February 20th, 2022, and we are on page 174 in the yellow copy of the sealed book. But that's also chapter. It's Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 12, and I believe we're on verse 24. Does that sound about right? Okay. So just a little recap. Jonah here speaking, he's talking about Alma and the Sabbath day and the ambiance of the Sabbath day. And so just to kind of recap a little bit what we did last week. Just a little on verse 23.
Excuse me. In the email, Jeannie wrote that we were on verse 20.
Okay.
Starting verse 20.
Jeannie said she messed up. She sent me an email.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get that. All right.
So that's okay. Thanks for checking, though, because, you know, we want to make sure we don't skip anything. But anyway, so we're supposed to be observing the Sabbath on the seventh day. So verse 23 talks about observing the seventh day. And then, did we do 24, or we're starting on 24? Is that correct?
Yeah, we're starting on 24.
Okay, 24. So we're going to go more into that about the sacrament and the Sabbath day. That's going to be kind of our lesson for today. So I would like to start, let's see, maybe with Harm. Will you read verse 24 for us, Harm, please?
Oh, thank you so much. That's what I referenced to earlier, the core. I love this verse.
Yep.
O people of my church, ye with whom my name shall be lifted up, yea, as a standard among the nations in the fullness of times, once and for all, you should understand that the relationship between the seventh day and the people of God is at the core of the whole truth of my gospel. From before the foundation of the world until its end, and that it is perpetually intertwined with the sacrament of Holy Supper that I instituted among my apostles before I left Jerusalem. Wow.
Thank you. Would you like to expound on that, Harm? Maybe you could repeat what you said earlier or anything that comes to mind.
I love this at the core of the whole truth. And if you know, in Hebrew, truth is has a numeric value of 441, and it's interesting with the how we are the word for man or Adam is 440, and if you take out one out of that, out of the truth in Hebrew, then you get the word for death. So truth is very essential. And if you get the one out of the word for human, then you get the word for blood. So this is so essential at the core of the whole thing, because I think it's so practical. And God loves that we can show how much we love him. And we have to really think and ponder about his timing, his almightiness of the whole thing before the world was, you know. So before the foundation of the world was, reminds me of Proverbs, before the world was, I was a child playing before his, and only know it in Dutch, before his, for his face. So once and for all, he must be a little bit annoyed also, you know. Once and for all, you should understand And this understanding has to do with love, you know, really understanding the whole thing. And that it started with Moses, with the 7 days, you know, and then the apex of everything is Jesus implementing the sacrament. And that's when it could go all over the world. Now it was a little bit changed, and it was perfect now again, you know, with the restoration through Mauricio and in this book. So I'm really enthusiastic about this thing. Also because 2 years ago, the seven was taken away from my county where I grew up. We had a thing with seven stars. So it's personal. Mm. So thank you for letting me read this. And
yeah, I also wanted to point out, it says that it's perpetually intertwined. So the Sabbath day is perpetually intertwined with the sacrament. And I remember Grandpa Pratt talking about how they're together now. And the seventh day, starting from noon on Saturday to noon on Sunday, that is when we take the sacrament. And that's what, you know, we need to get back to and what we are getting back to.
Yeah. So Lisa, I wanted to make a comment.
Please.
Yeah. So this has always been on my heart for a long time, ever since I was like in my late 20s about the Sabbath. Partially because I don't know. I guess my spirit was like, something's up with this. And I didn't really understand why in the LDS we practice the Sunday Sabbath. And my ex-husband was part of the Wide World Church of God, and they practiced the Saturday Sabbath. And so at the time I wasn't married to him yet, but anyway, we were discussing things and we'd have these long conversations about the Bible. And so I went into my bishop and into my state president. And I was like, okay, I just really want to clarify, you know, why it is that I just remember leaving going, that was the most ridiculous experience of my life. They showed me scriptures that like made no sense, absolutely no sense. Like, I mean, some of them weren't even talking about the Sabbath. And I was just like, okay, this is weird. And I walked away just really empty. And Valera had always known that this had been on my heart. So when we started discovering stuff and she shared the seal book with me, and then as things evolved and then we learned about the right Sabbath, she was so, you know, we were so excited to talk about that. Cause I was just like, I knew it was wrong. You know, I knew that this was the right. And I was just having a discussion with my friend yesterday. He's Catholic, and he was going to church yesterday. And I was like, oh, and so I kind of asked him about the Sabbath, and his understanding is like in Spanish, they call like Saturday, you know, the word for Saturday is similar to the Sabbath. So I thought that was really interesting. So mm-hmm. It's so awesome to have it back together, and that we've, you know, that we had John who was able to explain it in all of his study that he did with all the calendars. So anyway, I was just so excited when I learned, and I've been able to share that with my ex-husband. And so it's opening him up now to what I'm learning, because that was his thing. He's like, this is a covenant between God and his people. And if you are not observing the correct day, it's a big deal. You know, it's something that is a sign. And I looked back up in verse 22 and it says, just what it says, in the last days, there will be that there will be an accustomed to look at the Sabbath with contempt, ignoring the fact of what was written by the prophets of the past. And then it says, it continues to say in 22, a genuine repentance will be necessary among the elect for the fullness of times, for how much profaned the Lord's day. So, wow. So profound what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And what is happening. So thank you. Awesome.
Thank you for sharing. And we'll, in a few more verses, we'll learn why and how it happened, this change. But yeah, any other comments on verse 24?
Always amazes me, this book, and in this, we've seen it before, but just in this one verse is an entire sentence that intertwines God's plan for us before, during, after. He talks about the before the foundation of the world, and he talks about the way it is today, and he talks about the fullness of the times that we are in. Amazing how he has said that the sacrament and the Sabbath are so intertwined. How else, how much more does he have to say to us? I mean, it's just, and Suzanne, you said the word covenant. It's just amazing.
Yep, opportunities for us to repent and draw closer to God. Were you gonna say something, Harm, or no?
Yeah, just one little thing at the beginning. How personal it is, you know, as a standard. If we have the responsibility when we bear his name, that as a standard, you know, we set the standard. So and it's such a tool. It's such an amazing tool, the Sabbath. You know, if we really realize and be enthusiastic about this new knowledge, you know, from 12 to 12, from noon to noon. So it's really something to, you can lift up, you know, like a banner or something that you can see, you know, you have different stages. And this is probably, could be very big impact, you know, to testify about this new perception of the Sabbath, and it will be known among the nations in the fullness. This thing, you know, about the Sabbath, and it makes it so the difference is so big and small at the same time. You know, it changes a little bit, but it's also everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Harm. Okay, I think we will go ahead and move on to the next verse, verse 25. Balkia, will you read verse 25 for us, please?
Yes, thanks. Except in new moon, for how much the sacrament is to be offered at the end of the day, when the first moon appears in the heaven of every month of the year, on any day of the week, as a special day of adoration. Yea, on this day my people will hold a special banquet in regard to the newly baptized members of my church, so that they can for the first time share my body, which has been given for the benefit of their sins in the flesh, and of my blood for the sake of an everlasting life, just as it was done among my disciples and the Nephite people, so that on this new moon day, you must be filled by the Holy Spirit in a true spiritual banquet in honor of those who repent and are baptized in my name.
Thank you. Okay, so this verse brings up the topic of new moon, which I really was not familiar with before, and the banquet and the special day of adoration. And before I say anything, does anyone else have something to say about this? Anything they've learned about new moon or experienced or anything like that?
I love the symbolism that's in the second verse, the verse that comes next. It was a special day when we partook of the sacrament for the first time after the new moon.
It's all new to me too, Lisa, and I think it's really amazing. And to me, I just, again, you know, like Balkia said, I love the symbolism, and to me it makes so much sense, because God, you know, Christ and our Heavenly Mother, you know, created everything for purpose, you know, in a purposeful meaning. And I just think it's amazing, you know, all of it. And that's one of the things that I think is so incredible too about the holy days that the Jews worship, you know, the Jews observe, because there's symbolism in all of it, you know. And I think that's another thing that we'll continue to probably learn more about is the symbolism with the days of unleavened bread and, you know, all the different symbolisms that have to do with that time.
Absolutely. Any other thoughts?
The heaven coming with the earth, you know, that you have the 7 days who go continually, just like the sacred round where Grandpa Pratt talked about with the 20. And then you have the looking up to the heavens, you know, and so it interconnects for the first time. I never before understood like this, and the new light, the whole light thing, that it's all about light. Why do all these parties are at night, you know, or at midnight? What is that? I love this with the light, you know, and the new members and the spiritual banquet and also with the sorrow, you know, where we talked about earlier. Jesus first takes away the sorrow, you know, with miracles, with the embarrassment that there is no wine, and then there is no food, you know. He first takes away the physical problems, and then the higher ones. And that's for me, special, you know, with the looking at the moon, and it changes so fast. If you get to notice it, so special that it comes together. Both never understood it like this. It's also, spiritual.
Also, it's beautiful where it says, "This is the first time that they shall share my body."
Yeah,
you know. That's also so beautiful and so symbolic, you know, in regards to the newly baptized members of my church, so that they can, for the first time, share my body, which has been given for the benefit of their sins in the flesh and of my blood for the sake of everlasting life. How beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful.
So in the future, we might be, then if someone will be baptized, then we will hold this special banquet, I think, yes. as a people, as a group.
Yeah, I remember this verse right here. You know, it always takes me back to the baptism when I first contacted this church. And, you know, I knew the sealed book, so I was hoping they practiced it. And Brother Bob was the one to talk to me. He said, yeah, you know, we're going to wait till the new moon. And that's when you'll be baptized. So, you know, just experiencing it. And I mean, they even took me up on the hill. Brother Bob took out his binoculars. You know, we were trying to see if we could catch the new moon. You know, it was very special. The banquet, the ceremony, you know, Brother Apostle Saul, not Saul, Sam and Peter and all of those guys were there. And you know, it was just a really special moment to be a part of that and then take the sacrament for the first time done correctly. So this verse is really special and dear.
So do you remember John's explanation of some of this?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Is that what you were going to present?
Yeah, I was going to talk just a little bit about that. And then if I miss something, I can, you can catch me up on it.
Go ahead, then you do it. And if you miss something, I'll fill it.
Okay. So Grandpa was very, and I say Grandpa Pratt, for those who are watching this, that's John Paul Pratt, my father-in-law. So he studied calendars and stuff, and he talked about the new moon, and he talked about how so there's, if you look on your calendar, like our Western calendars or whatever, it'll say, this is the day of the new moon. 'Cause this is the day that the new moon starts, and it's actually blank in the sky and you can't see the moon. It isn't for like a day or two later that you can actually see the little tiny sliver, which is the first new moon. And back in the times of Jewish history, I guess, I'm saying this all wrong, I'm not really good, but they would actually send out two people to go like to the mountain and look for the first sign of the new moon. And then once the once they could, both of them could see it, then they would light a torch on the mountain, and that would let the people in the surrounding towns know that the new moon was there. And so then the surrounding towns would light a torch to the next town, to the next town, so that everyone knew that it was the new moon. And that was when they did their sacrament and their feast. So it's actually not on the day of the new moon. It's going to be a day or two later where you can actually see that first little crescent. So, anyways, there's some history involved where they had to stop doing the lighting thing. And then with calendars now or stuff, we can tell when the sliver is going to be. I think that's how Grandpa knew when the sliver was there, at least for my baptism. So I have a little bit more, but Jeannie, what else do you have to add to that?
Well, John talked a lot about sacrament for after you've been baptized, your first time to receive the sacrament. And he spoke to the fact that baptism is repentance. You're being baptized in the Lord's name, but you don't make an actual covenant until when you take your sacrament. So it's a really big deal, that first sacrament. And he talked about how we've gotten to the point in churches that we let the little kids have a little bite of the passing of the bread, and all of this happens, and it's become mundane and usual and ordinary instead of how beautiful and spiritual that it's supposed to be. So by honoring this new moon and by recognizing it's a special day of adoration, a special banquet, and it involves the newly baptized church, the newly baptized members, and that it says, so they can for the first time share my body, which is given for the benefit of their sins in the flesh and the blood for the sake of an everlasting life. That he was, this book, this verse, what John was speaking of is the joy and the love that you have when you come to take your sacrament the first time, a new birth, a new beginning with this new moon. And that's why it was so special to be done. So baptism was done. And then as you went through the month and people got baptized, then they would wait until this new moon period. And then that was when everybody came together with a big banquet and joy in their hearts and love for the newly baptized people. And then they would do the sacrament during that period is what my understanding was. That was the first time they could take the sacrament. And it was just a blessed event. And everybody participated in it. I didn't know that part about the mountain and everything, but when we did this, and for JT, when they did that, I remember yesterday or recently that Renee had said, maybe it was Brother Bob had said that they picked the new moon, but John, somebody had thought it was on a Friday, and I think she said it was on a Saturday because they could see the new moon better. But when we did it here, so I'm not an astrologer. I don't know anything. I just know that the moon comes up going from the east to the west. John took us over to the west side of my house, and we're looking in the western sky, with his binoculars. And I'm thinking, okay, he is the astrologer. He knows this stuff. So I'm just going to listen because I don't know where the new moon comes up. And sure enough, he did find it. He had to show it to me with the binoculars. And it was beautiful. It was just this teeny tiny sliver of a beginning. So symbolic, but it was in the western sky. And I know that that's why they had to send people out to search for this. And to light lights, that's amazing. It's difficult to see, but it's beautiful when you do see it. And that was the whole point of this whole banquet and celebration, a celebration of everybody who's newly baptized, being able to receive the sacrament, the honor, the symbolism, the spiritualism, not the way it's done today in the corporate church, or maybe some of the, it's just so, they've lost all the experience of what it really should mean to everybody.
Thank you, Jeannie. This morning, I've been thinking about this a little bit, but I didn't really connect. And this morning I was thinking about the new moon for some reason. And I looked on my Jewish calendar and it says Rosh Chodesh is what the new moon is. And so I'm like, well, what does that mean? So I opened up my Google and looked that up, and it means new moon in, I don't know, Hebrew maybe, I don't know. Anyways, and I just read a little bit about current traditions that the Jewish do at the first of every lunar month. And they were kind of cool too. Like it gave the history, which is what I just told you about the lighting the lights. And then also that, because like women have also cycles like the moon. We have our lunar cycle. And so it says that this new moon is actually a really beautiful celebration of womanhood, and that some Jewish people today, women, will take like the day off. They won't do much work on the first of the lunar month, and they will make it a day of like prayer. It talked about the new moon being like a little mini Yom Kippur, or a little mini Day of Atonement. So Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. So the new moon is like a little mini Yom Kippur. And so a lot of times people will fast around the new moon. They'll kind of repent, make it a little Day of Atonement. Sometimes the women will rest. And it talked about, you know, banquets and stuff too. I don't know how you rest and have a banquet, but maybe on the weeks that you don't, or months that you don't have people getting baptized or no. Anyways, it was just kind of, or the women will get together and have like, drinks and sweets or something, or community. Anyways, I just thought, oh, that's kind of cool. Not that that has to be done, but just kind of making it a special time. And that's, I think I like the sacrament, because you're renewing those covenants. So I don't, right now we're not taking sacrament on the new moon unless we have recently baptized members. But at some point, maybe that will become more common. And then we will be taking the sacrament at the special time of the new moon, the new beginning, to renew our covenants. Or begin our covenants. I don't know. Just some interesting things I learned today when I was trying to learn more about it. Just on accident. Anything else before we move on to the next verse? Jim, are you able to read? Do you have your book?
Sure, I do.
All right, will you read verse 26, please?
For as the first moon, they shine for the first time among my people on earth, for how much my angels celebrate with this first communion between them and the heavens, among whom many bear their songs of praise in the land.
Thank you. So we did talk a little bit about this already, but I think that's really beautiful. So the angels, sometimes angel singing is heard after a baptism or as this first new moon, the first communion. So I don't know if any of us have experienced that when we first take our sacrament, but the angels are rejoicing. And then just like you said, the symbolism of the new moon, the little moon, the light that grows and grows. Any other thoughts?
No.
Okay. All right. I think I will read verse 27. Behold, it is on the seventh day, which was sanctified by my Father, that should introduce yourself as people before God and offer unto him your sacraments, just as they are revealed in the Holy Scriptures, in righteousness of heart and a contrite spirit, so that you may keep yourselves clean from one Sabbath to another, and as Alma has asserted among you, may render thanks to the Lord your God every day. Any thoughts on that verse?
Well, again, it is talking about the seventh day and the sacraments. Again, it's talking about presenting, doing the sacrament prayer on the seventh day. So again, it's just saying how much and beautiful and necessary that it is that the Lord presented it to us at the Last Supper, that he wants it done on the seventh day. I mean, it just kind of is very clear that those two things go together, and that how we present ourselves at sacrament time is also what Mauricio has put into the WhatsApp when he says to everybody, this is how I'd like for you to come and present yourself when you're coming for the sacrament. So I thought that was important.
Right. And not just physically, but also the mentally, the spiritually, the righteousness in heart and a contrite spirit.
Right.
Valkia, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I looked up that footnote.
Okay.
And it's a little bit different in the Doctrine and Covenants. It says, verse 8 is, thou shalt offer a sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in righteousness, and that of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So here it says in righteousness of heart and a contrite spirit, because I always thought a broken heart and a contrite spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But here it says righteousness of heart. I'm not sure why it is slightly different, but verse 8 is saying, thou shalt offer a sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in righteousness, even that of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So it's okay. a little different. I don't know why.
Also interesting, maybe, is keep yourselves clean from one Sabbath to another. Mm-hmm. And every day. So, you know, the seven keeps coming back also with the, I was thinking about the Jubilee calendars and that the Israelites didn't do that right. And that eventually it's about every, that we can remember him always. So that's a lot, always. But first start with the 7 day. Learn about the idea of really not your own thoughts, idle thoughts, but the Lord's thoughts, the Lord's words. But it eventually has to do, I love that it gives, it goes to every day, you know? It's a step. It's a step towards all the time.
Yeah, and I like too where it says, and as Alma has asserted among you, you may render thanks to the Lord God every day. So there again, that reminds me of what JT was talking about, just being cheerful and having that right kind of heart and not having sadness and rendering thanks to the Lord. And truly, yeah, that's how we can keep ourselves, you know, clean from one Sabbath to another. Because if you're in that state of mind and you're living like that, then you're not talking about people. You're not gossiping about people. You're not murdering people. You're not stealing. You're not, you know, you're not coveting your neighbor's wife, you know, right? Yeah. Like it encompasses, you know, the Ten Commandments.
And it's good to emphasize Alma with the, because Jesus really points to Mosiah and Alma as a type for this, time we live in now, huh? So that's also interesting.
Thank you. Any other comments before we do probably our last verse here?
James, were you going to say something?
No, I wasn't. Wasn't intending to. Thanks.
Okay. I wanted to just say that it one reason that I just quit going to church years ago after moving out here and being more involved in the corporate church and my eyes being opened and seeing more things is that the people were not the same. They'd go to church and everything was so pious and beautiful and how are you and do you need anything and la 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 la, and then look what happened during the week. They were back doing their, they wouldn't follow the commandments. It was just sad to see and hypocritical. And so how can you, this was my thought that this verse gave me, how can you go from a righteous spirit, a broken heart, a spirit that is wanting to be so close to God and loving him. How do you go from that on one Sunday to being completely the opposite during the week and then being prepared for the next Sunday? To me, it doesn't happen. I think that's why the Lord says during the week, we must keep these feelings with us. You just don't do these things only on Sunday. And that's to me what this is saying.
I think about a song of Jethro Tull, you don't have to wind up God on Sundays. Just from the album Aqualung. But it's so interesting, all these schijnheilig, what do you call it? Not holy, but the opposite of holy. I think about my mother busy with a big hair on Sundays. It was just strange, you know, it becomes, and it goes in phases. It wasn't like that, you know. Then comes the train and Brigham Young tries to get his daughters in line with the modest dressing, you know. It's all these influences all the time. We have to see God in everything, in every small thing. And, but we have to learn and be of good cheer and patience. I love that about this, that it's in the whole thing. The plan is in the whole thing here, you know. You can't do it in one time, be perfect.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it makes me think a lot of, you know, just where, as a culture, we're just so into like, let's make a list and check it off, you know, and we're like, you know, so many people, including myself, you know, for many years, just like a robot. Okay. That's what we do. This is what we do. Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah. This year we're going to read the Book of Mormon again. And okay. Oh yeah. Let's reread the conference talks, you know, from 1970, you know, it's just like, it makes it so easy for people that they're just like, you know, it's sad because they're just numb and this is what we do. And they're not feasting, you know, they're not feasting, because that's the whole thing, is we're supposed to feast upon the word of God, you know? And to me, the definition of integrity is what you do when you're alone and no one's watching. And during the week, we don't have people watching us. You know, we don't have the physical thing of showing up to church and, you know, you take the sacrament and you teach your class or whatever. And so, you know, it's, you know, to me, it's just another sign of the times of like how people have just become so just cold hearted, you know, in a lot of ways. And it's sad, you know, but at the same time, you know, I think it's important to remember that these people that we're around and these people that we witness and the, you know, they already have accepted the Book of Mormon, you know, and they are, I mean, they're more the people that we're going to be able to hopefully influence, aside from somebody who's out there, who's never even had the concept of sacrificing anything for the Lord. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's important to just, you know, I loved what JT said in his prayer last week for me, you know, just like, you know, just to have the heart to try to find the people, because there are people that are lost. A lot of people are going through a faith crisis right now. A lot of people know that things are wrong. A lot of people are leaving. People are leaving over the mask, you know, having to wear a mask to church, but it's a deeper thing, you know. But it's just like, you know, in all these videos, there's Valera sent me a video of this man who went and he reenacted what happened in Carthage jail. And you can clearly see that what we've been told is a lie. There's no bullet holes in the walls. Like, they weren't shot through the wall. It was somebody that shot Joseph and Hiram inside of the jail. You know, and so all this is happening and we're blessed because we know what's going on and we have this book that we're reading, you know. And if I didn't have you guys and this going on, I would be like losing my mind out there, you know, and having all this other stuff coming forward. You know what I mean? Because already we have got the joy to know that it's okay. And God has another plan and he's helping us. But all these people out there that are being exposed to this, they're just going, what? And where do they turn? You know? That's all the more why we need to be willing to share it with them.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I like what everyone has shared about keeping ourselves clean and having those good feelings and having that broken heart and contrite spirit and just preparing for our Sabbath. And I think as we, you know, carry on, things are going to become more clear how you do this. It's going to become more clear how to be more positive, because life is rough, you know, and are we Pollyanna in it all the time, or are we experiencing these real human emotions? And when do we mourn with those that mourn? Anyways, things that philosophical questions that go through my mind. I don't think we should go on to the next verse because it's pretty, pretty important verse. And I don't want to go over time where people start to, you know, their brains kind of, when we go over time, the brains go bye-bye. So at least mine does. But yeah, let's keep at this, keep, trying to do our best, keep learning, keep growing, reach out to others, follow those promptings to reach out to friends and family. Cause like Suzanne said, there are probably people that are suffering right now and we can maybe add a little bit of light to them. Any other final thoughts before we close the recording? Okay. All right. Thanks everyone for coming and for your comments today. We'll see you next week.